SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yama, and welcome to NITV Radio. Bertrand Tungandami Ngaya. I am Bertrand Tungandami. Coming up in your program this Monday, the 5th of August, 2024, as per every Monday, we'll bring you current affairs stories brought to us by NITV's NOLA program. As you'll hear today, all the content from NOLA and indeed all of our program will be dedicated to the ongoing Gamma Festival, Australia's largest Indigenous gathering. A celebration of Yolngu life and culture. In our coverage today, we'll see how in the context of Gamma 2024, the Northern Territory Police Commissioner has issued a historic apology for injustices committed against the territory's First Nations people for over 150 years. We also bring you the atmosphere at Gamma as captured by our colleague from SBS Chinese. But first, the latest news.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, First Nations leaders and peak bodies hailed Northern Territory Police Commissioner's Gamma apology as a new dawning. Australia increases its terrorism threat level from possible to probable. And Australian high jumpers claimed silver and bronze, the first double podium athletics finish in decades. While Indigenous groups welcome an apology delivered by the Northern Territory Police Chief for injustice and harm inflicted on First Nations Australians in the past 150 years, experts are asking for reforms to improve outcomes. Speaking at the Gamma Festival, Northern Territory Police Commissioner Michael Murphy considered the police has made mistakes and acknowledged a history of injustices against Indigenous Australians from their officers. Born and raised in the Northern Territory, Leanne Lido was an officer in the South Australian Police for more than a decade. The Arante lawyer is now leading an anti-racism push inside Northern Territory Police. She told NITV she wants to see real steps being taken to bring about change.
And we know it's going to take time to rebuild that trust and get a level of confidence where they know that it's not just words. It'll be looking at what training the officers get to work with Aboriginal people. It'd be looking at how do we assess bias, prejudices and racism in applications for people who want to apply for the police force.
Indigenous Australians Minister Malandiri McCarthy says her government remains committed in principle to the Uluru Statement from the Heart. It comes after Prime Minister Anthony Albanese appeared to back down from the proposed Makarrata Commission at the Gamma Festival over the weekend. Makarrata is a Yolngu word meaning for coming together after a struggle. The proposed commission would lead truth-telling about First Nations history. It was an election promise and the government has allocated $5.8 million towards its establishment. Ms. McCarthy addressed the confusion over whether the commission still had the government's support in an interview with ABC Breakfast.
And we know it's going to take time to rebuild that trust and get a level of confidence where they know that it's not just words. It'll be looking at what training the officers get to work with Aboriginal people. It'll be looking at how do we assess bias, prejudices and racism in applications for people who want to apply for the police force.
Australia has increased its national terrorism threat level from possible to probable. The government says a rise in extremism across the political and ideological spectrum is behind the revision. Right possible terrorist incidents were investigated or disrupted in the country since April. Authorities say no one group has caused the change, rather it's growing concerns across a range of ideologies. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says the increase does not mean there is an imminent threat.
I want to reassure Australians, probable does not mean inevitable, and it does not mean there is intelligence about an imminent threat or danger. But the advice that we've received is that more Australians are embracing a more diverse range of extreme ideologies, and it is our responsibility to be vigilant.
The government is urging anyone who has witnessed or suspected terrorist activity to call the National Security Hotline on 1800 123 400. The Israeli embassy says an Australian report on the killing of aid worker Zomi Frankom and six of her colleagues in Gaza omitted crucial details. The report by the former Australian Defence Force Chief Mark Binskin was released on Friday and found there had been a significant breakdown in situation awareness by the Israeli Defence Forces. Israel has said it takes full responsibility for the grave incident, but its embassy criticised the Australian government for not being forthcoming about the level of cooperation and openness it says the IDF exhibited in contributing to the report. Jordan's foreign minister has met with his Iranian counterpart in Tehran as fears grow over a wider regional war in the Middle East. Ayman Safadi is the first senior Jordanian official to pay an official visit to Iran in over 20 years. His visit follows continued diplomatic contacts by the United States and partners like France, Britain, Italy and Egypt, all calling for de-escalation. Last week, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh was assassinated in Tehran in a strike Iran has accused Israel of carrying out and vowed to avenge. The U.S. says although it still believes a ceasefire is the best way forward, it's helping Israel prepare for a response. Here's the National Security Council's Admiral John Kirby on Fox.
Look, when the Supreme Leader says he's going to avenge, we have to take that seriously. Now, I don't know what they're going to do or when they're going to do it, but we got to make darn sure that we're ready and that we have the capabilities in the region to be able to help Israel defend itself and, quite frankly, defend our own people, our own facilities, our own national security.
Nearly 100 people have been killed and hundreds more injured amid renewed anti-government protests in Bangladesh. The government has shut off mobile internet and imposed an indefinite curfew to try to quell the unrest. Protesters are calling for Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina to resign after student-led protests turned deadly last month over a quota system for government jobs. The unrest resulted in the closure of schools and universities across the country, and authorities at one point imposed a shoot-on-site curfew. At least 11,000 people have been arrested in recent weeks. Aki Afroj is a student in the capital, Dhaka.
5 dead bodies came in front of me. Boys have been shot in the head. Tongues from their mouths were blown away. I can't think that I will need to see war within my own people. One after another, dead bodies are coming. What will we do? Everyone is praying there.
The clean-up has begun in parts of the United Kingdom after a series of violent anti-immigration protests. Protests descended into riots in some cities, with bottles and bricks thrown and shop fronts set on fire. Over 140 people have been arrested. The protests come nearly a week after 3 young girls were stabbed to death near Liverpool. Online misinformation has seen false claims circulate that the attacker was a Muslim migrant. Prime Minister Keir Starmer says those involved in the violence will be punished.
I utterly condemn the far-right thuggery we've seen this weekend. Be in no doubt, those that have participated in this violence will face the full force of the law.
In the port city of Hull, residents like Nadine Bulmer gathered to clean the streets and express solidarity with the migrant community.
I think it was really important to show the people of Springbank, our black and Asian community, that, you know, if people are going to bring 200 people out to Insight here, we're going to bring 20,000 out to Insight Good.
Back home, new research shows over 40% of young Australians are persistently lonely, as well as one in four adults. The figures were released by the charity Ending Loneliness Together to coincide with Australia's second annual Loneliness Awareness Week. Data shows those who experience financial hardship are unemployed, single or divorced, or who come from a culturally and linguistically diverse background are more vulnerable to persistent loneliness, which researchers define as being longer than 8 weeks. Sophia Fu, a new mom in Melbourne, says she found becoming a parent a very isolating experience.
I think the feeling of loneliness is feeling like you had no one that understood what you were going through at that same time. Don't think I talked specifically about loneliness to anyone apart from my partner. Even if one person notices, that makes a big difference, rather than everyone just sweeping it under the rug and going like, that's fine, she'll be right in a month.
Commuters in Queensland will pay just 50 cents per trip on public transport as the state government prepares for an upcoming election. The discount will apply to Translink bus, ferry and train services for the next 6 months and a trial to address cost of living pressures. Ticket prices on the privatised airport rail line have been halved under the scheme. And to sport in athletics, Nicola Oyslagers and Eleanor Patterson have added to Australia's medal haul, winning silver and bronze in the women's high jump. It's the first time in 56 years that two Australians have finished on the same podium at an Olympics athletics event. Oyslagers cleared 2 metres on her third attempt, only losing on a count back to Ukraine's Yaroslava Mashushkin, the world record holder. And now, having a look at the weather around the country: Broome, sunny 29, Perth, partly cloudy 20, Adelaide, partly cloudy 15, Melbourne, cloudy 14, Hobart, mostly sunny 15, Albury Wodonga, cloudy 12, Canberra, cloudy as well, and a top of 13 degrees, Wollongong, similar conditions, 18, Sydney, possible shower, 19 degrees, Newcastle, a shower 2 and 20, Brisbane, cloudy 23, Townsville, mostly cloudy 26, Cairns, possible shower 26. 7. Alice Springs, sunny day, 20 degrees. Darwin, mostly sunny, 31. And the Torres Strait Islands, a mostly cloudy day and a top of 29 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
We come from the land down under. Can you see, can you feel the wonder? Bookmark Malawangan, living under one sun.
And that was a King Stingray's interpretation of Down Under, Great Australian Classic. I'm Bertrand Tungandame, and you're listening to NITV Radio, coming to you from Nam on the Kulin Nation this Monday afternoon. Coming up next in your program today, we have a special edition dedicated to GAMA 2024, Australia's largest Indigenous gathering currently underway on Yolngu Country. The program, we see how, in the context of GAMA 2024, the Northern Territory Police Commissioner has delivered a historic apology for injustices committed against the territory's First Nations people for over 150 years. We also bring you the atmosphere at GAMA 2024 as captured by our colleague from SBS Chinese. But first, some current affairs stories brought to us by NITV's NOLA program. The GAMA Festival is Australia's largest Indigenous gathering. It's a four-day event, a celebration of Yolngu life and culture, held in remote northeast Arnhem Land. This year marks the 24th year of GAMA. The very first festival was held just before the turn of the millennium in 1999. Back then, it was a small-scale event, little more than a backyard barbecue. But the mission of its founders remains to be a cross-cultural meeting of leaders to discuss important issues impacting First Nations people across the country. NITV's Emma Kellaway gives us a look at what GAMA is today.
On the remote red dirt of northeast Arnhem Land, each year thousands descend for the largest First Nations gathering in the country. A four-day celebration of Yolngu life and culture.
Really, GAMA is a gathering place. It has always been, some 60,000 years before GAMA even existed. So very traditionally significant ceremonial ground. And obviously the Gumatj people are the traditional owners who share this very generously with the nation.
Now in its 24th year, the festival has become a pivotal platform for politics.
We can bring our country together. We can bring our two worlds together.
The Garchimbul Auditorium is a key location at GAMA, a space where those leading discussions on Indigenous affairs field forums.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to see truth through a Western lens anymore.
Topics range from land rights, health, education and economic development. As the sun sets each night, the rhythm of clapsticks and the voices of Yolngu songmen ring out across the site, summoning all to the sacred Boongoo grounds. Here, the different clan groups take turns performing traditional dance, sharing stories and songlines that stretch back millennia. The annual event was conceived by the Yothu Yindi Foundation, led by the late Yunupingu, with the aim of improving standards of living for all First Nations people. The word GAMA means two-way learning process in Yolngu Matha. It's an invitation for Balanda, or non-Indigenous people, to listen and learn.
Take back what you can from us and, you know, learn from us and, you know, come back again next year.
From weaving to spear making, cultural activities scatter the campsite as traditional practices are put on full display. A cultural immersion unlike any other, making the magic of GAMA an unforgettable experience.
GAMA is held at Golkala, an important ceremonial site in northeast Arnhem Land, around 350 kilometres from Darwin. NITV's Michael Rennie gives us a look at the significance and history of this place.
GAMA takes place at Gulkala on the Gove Peninsula, situated on the far northeastern coast of the Northern Territory. It's Gumatj country, bordered by beautiful white sand beaches and tropical savanna forest. It's about half an hour's drive on unsealed roads from the town of Nhulunbuy. The town sprang up in the mid-1960s when the federal government excised the land so that the multinational company Nabalco could mine bauxite and process it into aluminium. It was vehemently opposed by the Yolngu people, the traditional custodians of the land, who sent a bark petition to the government. That petition now hangs in Parliament House in Canberra. These days, Nhulunbuy has a population just shy of 3,500. Gulkala was chosen as the festival site as it's a significant ceremonial place for the Gumatj and linked to ancestral stories. The site sits on an escarpment surrounded by a forest of grey stringy bark trees, which also feature in the songs and dances of the local people. All of East Arnhem Land is Aboriginal land, and a permit is required to enter by road. But it has a deep water harbour and an airport, with most of the expected 2,500 GAMA attendees flying in.
Well, this year's festival is the first one to be held since the failed voice referendum vote last October. In the wake of its defeat, there's renewed focus this year on paving a new way forward. Michael Rennie sat down with the Yotuyindi chair, Jawa Yunupingu, to find out what's next for the community.
So, firstly, the theme for this year's Garma Festival 2024 is fire, strength and renewal. How much is that about what happened last year with the referendum?
You know, what I'd like to say is we just don't want to look back to what happened last year. But to this year's Garma, how have we get something out of it? Well, not out of it, but just to look forward. When we look at the fire through our lens, the Yolngu lens, it's something totally different. Fire, one, it burns the country. And after the burn, everything rejuvenates. The land itself, come the next rain, when it, you know, it's the rain comes and cleanses the country. And that is what our thoughts are on the emerging, the new plants that are emerging, our new leaders emerging in that way.
And we've got the Prime Minister here tomorrow. But this will be his last appearance at the Garma Festival before the federal election next year, which will be no later than May. What are you hoping that the PM might be able to commit to or to promise for Indigenous people here and across the country?
My people from this side of the land or country, we need to bring him close, you know, to us. But this is not only for us. It's for the whole of, you know, the First Nations people of Australia. But we want Albanese to listen to us again, regardless of the defeat of the referendum.
Treaties has been something that's been talked about by Yolngu people for a very, very long time. For you, is that, do you still feel like that's the way, that is a way forward?
We think of a way forward with the treaty and negotiation on that. That's going to come, you know, it's going to be a long time before it happens. And that's what I'm thinking. But it hasn't, you know, we haven't, you know, what I'm trying to tell, it's not off my mind yet. We still think about, you know, talking about treaty. But like I said, long way off down the track.
Among the many politicians who have travelled north to attend Garma this year is the newly appointed Indigenous Australians Minister Malandiri McCarthy. She spoke to NITV's National Indigenous Affairs editor John Paul Junkey and reiterated her calls for unity and to build greater cooperation with all sides of politics.
You've previously spoken about the need for bipartisanship across the portfolio. How will you actually achieve that?
I'm a firm believer in trying to work with people. I've grown up with that as a Yolngu woman. In terms of the Yanyuwagadu, Amara and Gudandji peoples. We have four clans. I've always had to navigate and negotiate between those clan groups, you know, between the Jungais and the Nyimaringi, and always trying to find a common ground between these groups. And even in political life, more so in political life, we need to find the one thing that we do have common ground in, and that's the challenge for me, is to look for that in my opponents, because I do want to see us rise above treating Indigenous affairs as a political football when there are so many of our people committing suicide, when there are so many of our people incarcerated.
The Garma Festival this weekend, Peter Dutton has chosen not to attend. The shadow spokesperson has chosen not to attend. This is a great opportunity to show beyond the referendum result that there is bipartisan support, or we're working towards that support. What type of message does that send if the Leader of Opposition can't even attend an invitation on behalf of the Yothiyindi Foundation?
Well, clearly there are questions for the Opposition Leader and the Shadow Indigenous Affairs Minister. From my perspective, I feel that in the parliamentary realm, I need to do as much as I can to reach out.
Do you think, though, it's, again, a missed opportunity?
Well, I clearly understand that the Yolngu are disappointed that the Opposition Leader and the Shadow Indigenous Affairs Minister did not take up their invitation. I'm hoping that perhaps there will be ways forward in the future for them to be able to show the respect that no doubt the Yolngu have provided in that invitation. What I'm about though, JP, is that these issues around closing the gap and these targets, which we are fundamentally finding very difficult to lower, are so important to me.
What are your key priorities in readdressing those targets to maybe shift them to somewhere that we actually are meeting those targets?
Well, I have to have a look at how the Coalition of Peaks is working on this with governments across the country, with our government federally, speaking with Pat Turner, the chair of that. I'm looking forward to meeting with her to go through it in more detail. We have to do this together with First Nations organisations. One of the things our government is absolutely committed on is making sure we are walking with First Nations organisations and people in the decision-making process. But somewhere in that decision-making process, we still don't seem to be able to achieve the better outcomes in those targets.
And that was Indigenous Australians Minister Malandiri McCarthy talking to NITV's Jean-Paul Janke, ending the stories brought to us by NITV's NOLA program. All stories dedicated to Gama Festival 2024, as you've heard, and I have to reiterate that Gama is Australia's largest Indigenous gathering. Time for a break, but stay with us, because when we come back, we'll bring you more stories from Gama 2024, starting with the Northern Territory Police Chief's history-making apology for injustices and harm inflicted on First Nations Australians in the Territory in the past 150 years.
Visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio.
What's your essentially addictive or strong hinge backbone? But you and I and
welcome back, and that is Body of Mine by Naidala, coming to you on NITV Radio today, broadcasting from Nam on the Kulin Nation. Aboriginal groups have welcomed an apology delivered by the Northern Territory Police Chief for injustice and harm inflicted on First Nations Australians in the past 150 years. Commissioner Michael Murphy delivered the apology at Australia's largest Indigenous gathering, the Gama Festival, which also heard from the Prime Minister on the direction of Indigenous policy after the Voice referendum result. Biwa Kwan reports.
In remote northeast Arnhem Land, before more than 3,000 attendees at the Gama Festival, Northern Territory Police Commissioner Michael Murphy delivered an apology to First Nations Australians.
I apologise in advance for any discomfort my words may cause, but truth-telling is critical for the Northern Territory Police to own its own part in its challenging history. Many Aboriginal have experienced this challenging history over many, many decades. So today, as the Police Commissioner for the Northern Territory, I unequivocally say I'm deeply sorry to all Aboriginal Territorians for the past harms and the injustices caused by members of the Northern Territory Police.
He says the apology is part of a process of healing aimed at improving the relationship between police and Indigenous Australians. The latest data on the Closing the Gap target show the number of First Nations people in prison in Australia continues to rise, despite a 2031 target to decrease Indigenous incarceration by 15%. Indigenous incarceration rates in the Northern Territory are among the highest in the country. The number of First Nations Australians in NT prisons is more than 17 times the rate for non-Indigenous Australians. Mr. Murphy says it's a big issue that must be addressed.
Northern Territory Police need to be accountable for the past treatment of Aboriginal people. Intergenerational impacts of colonisation, including poverty, ongoing disadvantage and racism, are reflected in the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people that are incarcerated. This reality underscores the urgent need for us to intensify our efforts to close the gap and address these deep-rooted causes of dispossession and disempowerment.
He listed the ongoing impacts from the actions of police, including intergenerational trauma caused by the practice of child removals during the Stolen Generations era, as well as police enforcement of the NT intervention introduced by the Howard government in 2007. Speaking after his speech to NITV, Mr Murphy vowed to change the culture in the NT police force.
That's my role as the commissioner. The buck stops with me. I am accountable for what the police offer and what service we do, and we've got a lot of work to do. I acknowledge that. I'm not the solution alone. Being the commissioner of police is extremely powerful. I need to share that power. Within the police force, it's all our officers. One person can make a difference, and it can start with me. And I need to share that power across the community and change thinking, because I cannot accept the status quo.
Northern Territory Police has announced it will develop an anti-racism strategy to be led by Orinda lawyer and former police officer Leanne Little. Speaking to NITV, she says she'll be looking at a number of issues.
And we know it's going to take time to rebuild that trust and get a level of confidence where they know that it's not just words. It'll be looking at what training the officers get to work with Aboriginal people. It'd be looking at how do we assess bias, prejudices and racism in applications for people who want to apply for the police force.
Meanwhile, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese used his speech at the Garma Festival to outline his government's Indigenous policy direction after the defeat of the Voice referendum in October. He says he's determined to improve the Closing the Gap outcomes, and a way of addressing that will be through new economic opportunities, including the transition to renewable energy. In an interview with NITV, he says he wants to see concrete outcomes, including for those in remote Indigenous communities.
So we've had a $4 billion commitment to remote housing here in the Territory. If you don't have a secure roof over your head, you're not going to get successful education outcomes, and there'll be health impacts as well. So we're working right across the framework, with economic empowerment being the key to that long-term sustainability, but also how do we improve education outcomes, how do we close the gap when it comes to health outcomes.
Professor Peter Yu is a Yawuru man from Broome in Western Australia who spent decades advocating for the social, cultural and economic advancement of Aboriginal communities. He welcomed the Prime Minister's emphasis on economic opportunity, saying the decision to develop a dedicated framework on the issue is a critical shift in policy direction.
Because we've never had a formal policy framework around the fiscal relationships and about economic empowerment with Aboriginal people in this country ever. It's the first time, so I think in that sense it's a seismic shift. What are the key levers that need to be pulled now so that we can actually start to do that? Because the environment has changed so dramatically, and to align ourselves with the direction of the national economy is the right thing to do.
Attendees at the Garma Festival say the Voice referendum importantly showed a strong yes vote, particularly in First Nation communities, and the focus of delegates is on renewal and what comes next. Denise Bowden is the chief executive of the Yothu Yindi Foundation. She says the result of October's referendum was soul-crushing, but it's now time to regroup and think about future directions.
Let's strengthen ourselves for the task ahead and remember that after the fire comes the rain, then new growth, from where springs the hopes and dreams of the future. Let's find the strength of renewal and new beginnings for the country and for its people.
Yolnu woman Sienna Mayutu Wumari Stubbs is an ambassador for the Garma Youth Forum, which she's been attending for the past 11 years. At the age of 22, she says she wants to see a brighter future for herself and other Indigenous youth. She told NITV that the theme of fire, strength and renewal is very important.
Just action for our mobs. We're people and we deserve the basics. A lot of people don't have that, and it's important just to have livable environments, to be listened to and to be given the opportunity to run our communities the way that we need to.
Biwa Kwan, SBS News.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
We must now step aside for another break, but stay tuned, because when we come back, we get the atmosphere at Garma 2024 as captured by our colleague from SBS Chinese.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to the NITV Radio, coming to you from Nam on the Kulin Nation this Monday afternoon. Our program today is dedicated to the ongoing Gama Festival. NITV Radio, NITV and SBS are providing extensive coverage of the event, including coverage by SBS Arabic and SBS Chinese. Ranki Lo from SBS Chinese is on the ground covering Gama 2024. She met some of the festival goers and heard about their motivations to be there, their feel for the event, and more.
Oh, hi, my name's Limit Brad-Kelly. Yeah, this is my first time to Gama, so I'm out here working in Nhulunbuy at the moment, just rotated down from Darwin. So we've been here a couple of weeks volunteering, setting up, and this is my first time here at the festival. It's been beautiful so far. It's a beautiful thing, Gama, because it's a bringing together of different cultures. I mean, Gama, it means to come together to meet, and, you know, we've seen that yesterday. So seeing sort of, you know, our political leaders meeting with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander leaders, it's very interesting to see.
I'm Marco. I'm from mid-north coast of New South Wales, Bellingen, and this is my first time up to Gama. I've been wanting to come up here for 20 years. I actually applied and was accepted in 2020, but then we know what happened in 2020. So that didn't happen, but I persevered, I'm here now. I'm part of the volunteer crew here. So I've been here a week, and it's just been a really special week with a really special mob of volunteers, and I've got another 5 days here. It's fantastic. I'm so happy to be here. There's different crews that have come in at different points, but a week ago 100 of us came in on two separate flights from Darwin and another one from Cairns into Nhulunbuy. And that 100 people, we've been completing the all the work, setting up the camps and cutting saplings for all the beautiful roofing that you see all around the different structures, the shade structures. Gama really is, it's really a global showcase of Indigenous culture to the world. And it's really interesting to see so many people from all over the world who have made the effort to get here. It's wonderful, including some volunteers.
Oh, it's a wonderful experience, a good meeting of cultures. We've got an Aboriginal art gallery, so we've got a vested interest in coming here. We've wanted to come here for a long time, but only just recently found the time to do it. Well, the forums are best, the discussion groups. But one of the things we really enjoyed last night was the recitations by Jack Thompson, the actor. Fireside reading of poems. And it was very exciting to be there for that. But just mixing with the people, there's so many people here that have achieved so much. And you sit down, you're talking to, you know, paediatricians and a child psychologist and eminent people, and a lot of university people here, people from upper walks of life. That's been a real surprise how many of those sort of folk are here.
My name is David. I come from Spain, specifically from Catalonia. I've been in Australia now for a few months. I'm currently backpacking around the country. And yeah, I ended up here in the Gama Festival. It's a wonderful opportunity. It's a beautiful land. I feel very thankful to be welcomed and yeah, to be able to spend some time over here. And I would encourage everyone that has the opportunity, the chance to come over, regardless of background, to do it. And once they're here, to take advantage of the opportunity to mingle and to learn about everyone else. Everyone else's culture, languages, regardless of it being indigenous from other parts of this magnificent country or from the rest of the world. It's a beautiful place.
My name is Lee Sarandopoulos. This is my first Gama here on the... I work for the federal government and here to get the cultural experience, obviously, but also to hear about all of the announcements and everything that's happening today, or the weekend. It's been amazing so far, yeah. Really, really learning a lot, meeting lots of people, getting the experience of people from different industries and different sectors, and all of the cultural experiences as well, really wonderful. But we did the Mongol yesterday afternoon for the welcome ceremony, which was just, I can't even describe it, such an amazing experience just to be immersed in that. And also just hearing the CEO of the Yothu Yindi Corporation, as well as the Prime Minister speaking today, obviously, as well, has been amazing and just really inspirational to think about how we can take that away in our own work. Yeah, I think the messaging around, yesterday we heard it in the afternoon session with Senator Malandiri McCarthy as well, and also this morning with the Prime Minister about it being a refresh. So going forward, always looking forward and thinking about how we know what we can do, but keeping that hope and the resilience and continuing the important work definitely is the kind of inspirational message that I'm taking away from it.
So my name is Justine Grogan. This is my first time at GAMA, and this is probably day two for me. And it's been a great experience with the Yolongu mob. We're staying on site with a traditional owner who we're doing cultural walks and a lot of the knowledge holder. And it's very, very important to get the message out there. I don't know how many people have been to this country, but it's absolutely beautiful and an experience that I'll definitely, definitely take home with me and never forget. But it might be the first time, but it certainly won't be the last. So I'm here with Reconciliation Australia. So it was an invite as a group. So we're in the corporate section here with tents. But as I said, being with the traditional owner, Japri, she has a special camping area for us. We have fires at night time. We sit down, we yarn. And then she's very busy during the day. But I'm looking forward to, I suppose, my highlight will be the women's healing. You know, GAMA is, we have fire, then we rejuvenate.
Hi, my name is Royce, and I attended the PM's speech this morning. My opinion is that it is full of hope, at least, even though there was a loss last year during the referendum. But the PM and all the Yolngu people and Yothu Yindi have high hopes that change will come. And that change doesn't happen overnight. And eventually in the future, we will succeed. It's a good experience. I like it. It's a lot different than I expected. I am camping at the moment, so I've got some of the tents. And that's not too bad. Everything's provided for us. We've got a sleeping bag and a stretcher, and that's pretty nice. I do like the diversity and how many people have come from far and wide, some of whom from interstate or possibly even overseas, as there are a few Americans here. I've come from Darwin, and yeah, it's pretty good.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online.
That's Because by Jess Malboy, and that's all we have on NITV Radio this Monday afternoon. Your program will be back on Wednesday with more news and stories from right across the country. Thank you for your company this Monday afternoon. I'm Bertrand Tungandami. Till next time, bye for now. Yalu.